Listening to the Hour of the Time, I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Got some things to talk about tonight. Don't forget about our two new videos. They're $15 post-paid each. One is the very best copy you'll find anywhere. I guarantee it's better than any copy that you can get anywhere of Hemp for Victory. That's the film that the government made during World War II to show how marijuana plants could be used to help the war effort. And what you'll see in there is just absolutely incredible. It's really a good film. I don't advocate warping your brain with any kind of narcotics whatsoever, including marijuana. But I also happen to know that the war on drugs is really a war on the Constitution, and I am against any concept of anything called a victimless crime. Heck, you want to destroy yourself smoking pot in the corner all night? I don't care. I don't care. And I think we'd be doing ourselves a big favor if we empty all these people out of the prisons. Let them. Don't bother me, man. Got to tell you that for sure. Now, teaching children how to do it's a different thing. That ought to be a crime, trying to hook some child on drugs. Darn right. But for adults, you know, like anything else that's adult, you're not hurting the person or property of any other human on this earth. I don't care what you do. So if you want to use the film to promote that, that's your business. But what I think we should learn from that film is that we're missing a tremendous economic opportunity with the hemp plant that can make our lives a lot better at a lot less expense. I'm not talking about smoking pot, folks. I'm talking about making suits, some of the finest suits you could ever see. That's what they, you know, they used to call suits made from hemp, linen. Did you know that? Did you know that all of the rope and line in the United States Navy since its inception, since the Navy was first formed, was all made out of hemp? I could go on and 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 on listing all of these things. But you should really get the film and see it. It's called Hemp for Victory. It's $15 post-paid. The other one is the autopsy film that I talked about last night. Well, we paid a bunch of money for that. Hemp for Victory, we didn't pay very much money for. But the autopsy film, we had to. It's the only autopsy film available to the general public that I've been able to find. And I've searched every database and every list of available videos and motion pictures that you can buy. And I've searched every one of the lists, the prime lists, the ones that everybody goes by. This is the only one that there is, and it's not even on those lists. So, if you need to learn human anatomy, for whatever the reason, you need to get this film. Understand that it's not for showing to children. It's not for showing to people who might faint at the sight of blood, because it's a real autopsy. From start to finish, nothing is left out, nothing whatsoever. That also is $15. Postpaid. Plus, if you order both of them, of course, it's over $20. It's going to be $30. You get the other video free. You get the other video free anytime you order anything that's $20 or more. So we only accept cash or blank money orders. If you fill out the pay to section of that money order, we're going to send it back to you. We don't want it. Blank money orders, cash, gold or silver coin. Send it to the Hour of the Time, or you can just put HOT, H-O-T-T, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. Don't worry how you spell Eager. If you get the zip code right, it'll get here. That's Hot and care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. So, there you go. Put those in your pipe and smoke them. Oh, boy. Been having a lot of fun putting the internet back together. Actually, it's real hard work, folks. And it's going to take a long time. Please don't email telling me that you went to a certain page and you clicked on a link and it asked for a password. The web page is not together yet. The website's not together yet. I just put all those pages on there so that at least you'll have access to some of the stuff. There's a lot of work yet to do. I've got to check every single link to every URL on the entire website. That's hundreds and hundreds of links. Ours is one of the biggest websites on the entire internet. You should know that by now. So it's going to take me about 2 months to get it all straightened out and get what we've got. And thanks to a lot of you who saved some of these pages from our old website, we're able to at least assemble something. It's not as good as it used to be, but it's still one of the best, one of the biggest websites on the internet. And it is still the king for people who are doing research or looking for information. You cannot find a better site anywhere under any circumstances. I don't care who put it together, and I don't care who you are. The website is williamcooper.net. Williamcooper.net. And while we were off, we just had that one couple of pages up there. I think it was Majesty 12 and the homepage. While we had that up there, even though most of the website was gone, we had almost 1 million hits on the website. So now that it's coming back together, who knows what lurks in the mice of men. I think the hit counter is going to go out of sight, to tell you the truth. I think it's going to go way out of sight, because by now, with all that's been happening, everybody knows that I am the most accurate researcher that's been able to predict future events in the whole history of humankind. And I don't do it by psychic anything. I don't look in crystal balls and God doesn't whisper in my ear. It's just plain old hard work. Hard work. You know, the thing that most of you are afraid of. Unfortunately, that's true. And it is unfortunate. Because if everybody worked as hard as I did and provided as much as I do, then, I probably could have retired a long time ago. Gee, doesn't that make you feel good, huh? How about that, guys? How come you don't do it? Now what I do? Every time somebody calls me and asks me, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You know, I always say, why don't you do it? Oh, you want me to do it? Yeah, why not? If I can do it, you can do it. I'm pretty busy. Or I like this one. I got a family to take care of. that really grabs me every time. You know, I just love that one. And the other one is, I don't have much money. And then finally, the last one is, you know where to look for all that stuff, but I don't know where to look for it. Duh. It's just absolutely incredible, folks. What so-called human brains have sort of done with their brains. I did misplace them somewhere. How did this happen? How did so many people get so stupid so fast? It's beyond me. Well, I gave Doyle $100 today to go and return to Judas Glenn Jacobs. See, he had donated $100 for our TV project. And I sent Doyle to give it back. We can't take tainted money. He probably got it from the feds anyway. They probably gave him $100 to give to us to get in good with us so he could spy on us. Also, old Glenn sent me an envelope with a page of his paper in it that had his little invitation to get screwed. And I guess he wasn't listening that night when we did the whole broadcast about what he said in his paper. Sorry, Glenn. My mama didn't raise no fool, just in case you're listening tonight. Probably not. But that's okay. You'll get the word somehow. And who knows? Maybe I'll even send you a copy of the tape. And you can play it for your Fed masters the next at the next informant meeting. How about that? Well, folks, I got, I got stuff to give you. Oh, by the way, when you're on the website, click on over to XL Studios Corporation and Hallmark Creative Corporation and just check them out, get used to them, because from now on, starting at some future date here pretty soon, those are going to be the only sources where you can purchase our material. Those are going to be the only sources where you can purchase our material. Also, before I forget about it, the reason we haven't published an issue of Veritas since March is March is when I had to send my family out of the country for their safety, for their protection, so that if the jackbooted Nazi thugs come up here after me, they don't get hurt. And one of the warrants was for Annie's arrest, even though Annie's never done anything to anybody in her whole life. You see, they do that to try to make a deal with you. And that's what they were trying to do when they first came up here. They wanted to make a deal with me. Well, you know, if you'll agree to cooperate with us and rat on the other patriots and be a spy, we'll drop the charges against your wife. And after 2 or 3 years of working for us, we might even drop the charges against you. You see, that's how they do things. They're really scum. I got to tell you, these people have no morals, no ethics, no nothing. I wonder what's rolling around in their head, and you know, probably a couple of mothballs or something. But you know, they just picked on the wrong guy. It usually works with most people, but it will never work with me. I'd rather die first. You see, I may be one of the last people left in this country who has any honor, who has any honor, who has any principles, who has any morals and ethics that they're willing to die for. I'm willing to die for all these things. To me, these things are more important than anything else in the world. You know, you can take everything away from me, the house, the studio, you can take the car, my truck, everything. You can take it all away from me. And I wouldn't even miss one bit of it. Not one single thing would I miss, period. As long as I'm still free, as long as I still have my morals, my ethics, my principles, and most important, my honor. I may be one of the last people in the world that if I promise you something, it's as good as gold, you can take it to the bank. If we make a deal and we shake hands, you might welch on the deal, but I never will. Never, ever in my life would I ever do that. My word is gold. And you can put it in the bank. And you can count on it. That's the way it is. My friends know that. And if you're my friend and you need help and I don't have anything, you can have everything that I have. I mean it. If I have something, you can have all of that too. It doesn't matter. That's just the way I am. Those are the things I care about. Now, the reason that, I started, I don't know how I got off on this track, but anyway, the reason we haven't had an issue of Veritas since March is when I had to send my family out of the country for their protection, for their safety, I just sort of went into a period of mourning because I may never see them again in my whole life. And I was mourning, really, mourning. It was as if they died. And for a while, all I wanted to do was die. I can tell you that now. I couldn't tell you that then. I can tell you that now. And if it hadn't been for Crusher, I might not be here today. You see, I knew if anything happened to me, the first thing they would do when they came up here, when they found out I was dead, would be to kill Crusher. And he doesn't deserve that. He doesn't deserve it. He's a good, loyal dog. He has more love in his heart than any animal I've ever seen in my whole life. For me. Now, if you come up here and try to pet that dog, he'll take your arm off. And that's no joke. He's been trained to protect this family. And now I'm the only one left here. So he's willing to give his life to protect my life. And so I couldn't leave him like that. And so I didn't. But I'm out of all that slump now. And I couldn't publish a paper. I couldn't write an article. Tell you the truth, I couldn't do much of anything, and I was pretty much useless. And if it hadn't been for my good friends here in the Valley who saw me through that, I might not have made it through that. So that's why. Now we're getting geared up to start the next issue of Veritas coming out in January. But I'm setting things up different now so that no matter what happens, I learned a lesson from this. Everything that we do depends upon me, and it shouldn't be that way. So I've appointed Ken the editor-in-chief. He doesn't have to ask my permission to put anything in the paper. But everything he puts in the paper has to come from the Veritas News Service, which we're forming now. And I need a bureau chief for each time zone, Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific. I've already got a bureau chief for the East Coast, for the Eastern time zone. I may have a bureau chief for the Central time zone. I have not received an answer from him yet to my query. I still need a bureau chief for the Mountain time zone and the Pacific time zone. Now listen to me, don't apply for this position unless you're ready to work. Unless you're ready to work. Because that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have a whole bunch of reporters under you writing stories and feeding them to you. You're going to have to check each one for accuracy. You're going to have to check the spelling and the grammar. And then you post it to the Veritas News Service list. And the only ones allowed to post to the Veritas News Service list will be the bureau chiefs and me. If I write something, which I will. And everybody else will be able to subscribe to the Veritas News Service if they want to. If you don't want to, you're going to see it in Veritas and in other publications anyway. And that's going to be for a fee. And the fee is going to go to pay the bureau chiefs for their work. Okay? That's what the fee is going to be for. So I need a bureau chief for the Pacific Coast, for the Pacific time zone. All states in the Pacific time zone will come under the Pacific Coast bureau chief. All states in the Mountain time zone will come under the Mountain time zone bureau chief. I already have an Eastern time zone bureau chief. I may have a Central time zone bureau chief, but I have not received an answer to my query to the person that I really would like to see take that job. Now, if you're interested in being a reporter, you should have some journalism skills. You can't just open your paper and find an article and copy it. That's called plagiarism. It's a violation of copyright. You have to write your own stories. If you're interested in being a reporter, send me a letter. I will forward your letter to the bureau chief in the time zone in which you live. The bureau chief will contact you, and you'll set up some kind of a rapport and a schedule and what you're going to do and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And since you're volunteers, nobody's going to be ordering you around or anything like that. But to be a reporter and get press credentials, you will get press credentials. To be a reporter, get your press credentials and all that kind of stuff, you've got to write stories. If you don't, we're going to jerk your press credentials and they belong to us. If you refuse to return the press credentials, and when we ask you to return them to us, then we'll report them stolen to your local police station. And they're going to come up and get them for us. Okay? So we're very serious about this. We're going to put Matt Drudge out of business. The Drudge Report is no more. Veritas News Service is going to be it. Is going to be the it, top of the line source of real news in this country by the time we're through putting it together. Guaranteed, folks. I guarantee you that. Okay? I will return after a brief pause for breath. Catch my breath.
Let's go surfing now. Everybody's learning how. Come on, fly with me. sermon, how to cover up the bottle with me.
Isn't that a great song? The Beach Boys are just incredible. You know, it's a shame. The last time I saw the Beach Boys all together, they were old. And that made me get up off the couch and go look in the mirror. Because we all, you know, at the same time. And God, it's a shame. You know, I don't mind me getting old, but it's a shame that they're getting old. Because that music could just go on forever and ever. Well, here's what I promised you last night. Listen to this, folks. Florida troopers have been concealing that they're tipped off to suspected drug smugglers by undercover FBI agents who supplied the very drugs the suspects were charged with possessing. This is what's coming out in Florida now. The FBI also rigged some of the suspects' cars so agents could immobilize the vehicles by remote control, giving the troopers an excuse to question the drivers. In other words, they would disable the car would have to pull off the highway. Along would come a trooper, see them pulled off the highway, and stop to say, you know, what are you doing? Who are you? Can I see your driver's license? Do you mind if I look in your trunk? And of course, you know, nowadays, if you say, no, you can't look in my trunk, which is your right, they have no reason to search your trunk unless they're conforming to the clause in the Constitution in the Fourth Amendment, which protects us from unreasonable search and seizure. If you say, no, you can't open my trunk, they say that that's probable cause, and now they can force you to open your trunk or arrest you. You see how crazy this has all gotten? It's insane. They also have another trick, too. They'll have a dog. And they'll say, do you mind if we walk the dog around your truck? And they train the dog by hand signal to bark. And so when the officer gives that hand signal, the dog barks, and then the officer says the dog has detected that there's drugs in this vehicle from sniffing around the outside. It's all bullshit, folks. It's a scam. And then they use that as probable cause to search your car. Used to be, we had police officers whose job was to serve and protect. Now we have law enforcement officers who are worse than some of the criminals. In fact, might be worse than most of the criminals. They are criminals, in my book. Now, because of this testimony, it's just coming out in court in Florida, and the investigations that are being conducted, there's defense lawyers in at least three different counties are going to ask the court to reopen cases involving drug convictions. Even the judge is really upset about this. And the judge has made a public statement that there may be many hundreds of people in jail who don't belong there. Isn't this is weird, huh? But I've told you about this all along. I know you didn't believe me, but it's true. This is what they do. If you're a law enforcement officer listening, you know, if you're doing this kind of stuff, you're just a crook. You're just a scum-sucking criminal like the rest of them. If you're lying in court to get people convicted, you're just a scum-sucking criminal. You're a perjurer. You're not worth dog crap. And don't give me this. Well, if you didn't do that, we couldn't send the guilty parties to jail. Let me tell you something. If you can't convict them honestly, they're not the guilty parties, dummy. It also means that you're incompetent and can't do your job. Got that? Huh? Amazing. Representatives of the FBI, the Highway Patrol, and the U.S. Attorney's Office, of course, have declined to comment. You've been caught, man. But you see, they know what most of the people they deal with don't know. You don't have to talk to anybody. Most people are in jail because they talked their own self into jail. They volunteered to go. A judge told me that one time. He said, most people are in jail because they volunteered to go. It's true. Believe it or not. Now, the issue arose, folks, a little over a week ago, on a Tuesday, during a federal cocaine trial for three men. Their lawyers are trying to have the charges dismissed because of the practice of what they call ruse stops. Ruse stops. In other words, the whole thing's rigged from the beginning. The FBI goes and finds some stupid jerk, convinces him to buy the drugs and transport them to another place. They then sell him the drugs, and they even load the drugs into the guy's car. They send him on his way, and they then tip off the troopers as to what car he's driving and all that kind of stuff, and they set the whole thing up. You might wonder, where does the FBI get all these drugs? Well, I've been telling you for years, it's the government's bringing the drugs in the country. It couldn't be done any other way. There's drugs in every city, every town, every burg, every little tiny crossroads in this country, every truck stop. You can buy all the drugs of any kind that you want. No problem. And the only way that could happen is they're being brought in under the veil of national defense and cargoes labeled top secret in military planes and ships. And then they're distributed. Since World War II, the intelligence community has a partnership with the underworld. You all know that. And what major portion of the underworld have they never, ever gone after? How come they're always picking on the Italians? How come they're always picking on the Italians? How come old Meyer Lansky's mob ain't never been touched? Might want to ask yourself that question, bozo. Strickland testified that a ruse stop is when a highway patrol trooper pulls over suspected criminals, fully knowing that their car is loaded with drugs and has been tampered with by FBI or Drug Enforcement Administration agents. He testified that troopers, by the way, Strickland is a state trooper, he testified that troopers who made ruse stops routinely falsified information on sworn arrest affidavits to protect FBI informants and avoid letting suspects know they were targets of federal investigations. That's what you call, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? That's perjury. Perjury is not a misdemeanor. It's a major felony. These guys are criminals. You know, another judge told me one time, he said, if you really want to know who tells the most lies in court, it's the police. And when he said police, he meant all police, FBI, your city police, your state police, all of them. He said, they lie more than anybody else who sits on the witness stand. And I said, well, if you know this, why do you allow it? He said, I'm not the investigator. It's not my job to prove it. I'm the mediator in the court. My job is to rule the courtroom. Now, if somebody else can put a witness on the stand and prove that the guy perjured himself, then I will make sure that that person gets charged with perjury and gets locked up. But it's not my job to do that, to investigate, to find out. He said, but I know. I sit up here every day, and I know who's lying and who's telling the truth. But the way our adversarial court system is set up, nothing I can do about it unless somebody challenges it and somebody proves in the court that one of the witnesses told a lie. Even though I know that they're lying, I said, what makes you want to be a judge in some kind of system like this? He looked me right in the eye and he says, the pay is really good. There are some honest judges out there, folks. There just aren't a whole lot of them. There really aren't a whole lot of them. Strickland testified that troopers who made ruse stops routinely falsified information on sworn arrest affidavits to protect FBI informants and avoid letting suspects know they were targets of federal investigations. If you make a false statement on a sworn affidavit, that's perjury. Clear and simple. In 1998, Strickland and another trooper arrested Michael Flynn, Norman DuPont, and Dewey. You make a false statement on a sworn affidavit, that's perjury. Clear and simple. In 1998, Strickland and another trooper arrested Michael Flynn, Norman DuPont, and Dewey Davis. The troopers had watched undercover agents load. Listen to this. Here's the troopers. These are the state troopers whose job it is to arrest criminals, to seek out and arrest criminals and protect the rest of us. Okay? The troopers had watched undercover federal agents load 220 pounds of cocaine into Flynn's trunk earlier that day. And they didn't arrest the federal agents, which is what they should have done. It's what they should have. See, the whole system is corrupt. The whole system is corrupt. And what are federal agents doing in the state of Florida doing this kind of stuff? They have no jurisdiction except over things involving interstate or international crimes. Or crimes that are involved in the Federal District of Columbia, the territories, ports, dockyards, ships, military bases, things like that. This country's gone to hell, literally. It's already there, folks. When the Ayatollah Khomeini called this country the Great Satan, he was closer to the truth than anybody can ever realize. And I don't care if it makes you mad. If you want to play in fantasy land, go find yourself a sandbox and stay the hell away from me. I don't want to get contaminated with your ignorance and stupidity. I'm dealing with reality. And if you're listening to this broadcast, you better be able to deal with it also. It's amazing. Troopers who made ruse stops routinely falsified information on sworn arrest affidavits. Troopers watched undercover agents load 220 pounds of cocaine into Flynn's trunk earlier that day. Strickland said the troopers also knew that FBI agents had rigged Flynn's engine so that it could be shut down by a remote control kill switch. Is that legal for them to do that? Hell no, it's not. Was it legal to be tampering with his car? Hell no, it's not. Did they have a right to do anything with his car? Hell no, not unless they fulfill the requirements for a warrant. And even then, that only allows them to search for specific people or specific things, not to damage somebody else's property. When the troopers encountered Flynn's stopped Lincoln Town Car on a highway, they had to find independent probable cause other than what they already knew from the FBI to search the trunk. Strickland told Flynn there was an emergency fuel turnoff switch in the trunk of the Lincoln Town Car that had probably tripped by accident. Stupid of him to do that. But Flynn did not want to open the trunk, and the arrest report said that made the troopers suspicious. And the FBI was left out of the arrest report. You see, if they're suspicious, that's probable cause. Lawyers for the three defendants asked the judge, Elizabeth Jenkins, to order an investigation and said there could be hundreds of wrongly convicted people in prison. She did not indicate when she would rule, but she indicated that she was very upset about all of this and that there could very well be the hundreds, many hundreds of wrongly convicted people in prison. So, what do you think about that? 520-333-4578. Just going off the deep end, folks.
Darling, baby, life is so lonely without you. Life is so lonely without you. Since you left these arms of mine, I've been alone crying, wondering why you left me behind. Darling, baby, can't carry on till the evening comes. Why don't you please come home? Let's talk it over, baby, 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 baby. Let's talk it over one more time.
Phones are open, folks. 520-333-4578. You can talk about this or whatever topic you want to talk about. I don't care. But I think we ought to talk about this. You know of any incidents where these things happen? I can tell you one. Remember the Georgia militia, one? Georgia constitutional militia that was set up by a federal informant? He came in, joined the militia, and then he wanted to build pipe bombs, and they told him they didn't want anything to do with that and to shut up about it. They weren't going to build any pipe bombs, so the informants built the pipe bombs themselves, went and buried them on the militia members' property, and the feds came out and dug them up. Now they're all in prison. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, this is Sop Choppy Dave.
I knew that.
That's a very interesting show tonight. Now, they used to make safes. As you know, I was a locksmith. That you could put in your car in the trunk, or you could put in the steering column bolted to the body. And the drug dealers started to put their drugs and their gun
in the safe.
In the safe and spin the dial. And maybe somebody would know, like, say you have a safe in the trunk of your car, and you have insurance on that safe, and it's in another person's name, and you put commercial plates on your car, and you don't have the combination. That means the police are going to have to impound the car and do what's called an administrative search in order to protect the property in the car. Now, I don't know of any locksmith who's going to manipulate the combination.
Yeah, but Dave, you see, you're way off base already.
Right.
Because the police today don't give a damn about the law.
They
don't give a damn about the protection of the Fourth Amendment.
They're
going to set it up or do something or say something or say you said something or they're going to rig it in some way so that they can open that safe.
Right.
totally unconstitutionally and unlawfully, but that's what they do.
In other words, they'll take a hammer, they'll knock the dial off.
I don't know how they'll do it, but they'll do it.
They'll forcibly open it.
Somehow, they will open the safe.
Do you think if you had insurance on it, would there be any recourse?
Yeah, you get insurance. The insurance company's going to have to pay you off, especially if they don't find anything, you know.
Like, say you have a diamond ring.
Well, so, yeah, if they take it.
As you say it, in other words, you lie like they do.
Well, I wouldn't do that. If I didn't have a diamond ring in there, I would never say that I did.
Yeah. I was thinking of entrapping the entrappers.
Well, why would you... See, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Two wrongs don't make a right. It just makes two wrongs. It makes it worse is what it makes.
Yeah, it makes you feel bad today. Man, you can't go down the road without opening the trunk of your car, you know.
On some places, you can't even walk out of your house. You know, in New York City, Mayor Giuliani has a rule, and the city council passed a law that the police can stop you and search you on any street for any reason they want to, or for no reason.
Yeah.
And now that's totally ignoring the Constitution, but they do that in New York City every single day.
I just got word of that a little bit while ago from a friend in New York. That's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
And
they're going to keep pushing us, and they're going to keep pushing us until they break the camel's back. And
people are going to fight back.
There's going to be a civil war, I guarantee. You know what they're doing in Massachusetts?
What?
If you take your car in to have it inspected for what do they call the environmental inspection for fumes? To make sure your car is not polluting the atmosphere.
Right.
If they find anything wrong with the car, they impound it.
Ooh. I go through a lot of catalogs.
They just impound it. They don't even give you a chance to fix it. They impound it.
They steal your car.
Yeah.
Yeah, the three great states in the union are California, Maine, and Massachusetts. There's certain knives you can't have sent there, and this, that, the other thing. And they have a little trick in Massachusetts. If they find a Vermont car parked in Boston, they give them a traffic ticket. Because everybody puts Vermont plates and uses a Vermont address because there's no income tax. Do you see what I mean?
People do the same thing here. Registering your car is cheaper in New Mexico. So they go over in New Mexico, rent a P.O. box, and get New Mexico plates, and then they live here. And now the DPS, is Department of Public Service, which is what you call the Highway Patrol in Arizona, is starting to crack down on them. So, which means that they say they're not, but that's bullshit. They're stopping people with New Mexico plates just because they have New Mexico plates. They say they're not. And some of them actually are. I know my friend Dave is not. He wouldn't do that. But I know that that's what's happening. That's what's going on.
Bill, I was reading this REST. They can stop you, and it's called a Terry stop. And it's generally viewed as 20 minutes as a time limit. Do you know anything about that?
All you got to do is look the officer right in the eye and say, "Am I under arrest?" If he says no, say bye. They can't hold you.
In other words, you can actually step on the gas and go.
They can't hold you unless you're under arrest for any reason.
Yeah.
Just look him right in the eye. Say, "Officer, am I under arrest?"
Right.
If he says no, say bye.
And have electric locks in your car, and he can't pull you out, and that's it.
Yeah.
I get you. Good show tonight, Bill.
Thank you.
Your package might be a little late.
Oh, I'm. Don't worry about that.
I got some other little toys for you.
What I really look for in that package is that newspaper.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. I gotta let you go.
Okay.
Good
take
night.
It easy. Bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Well, you have to draw the line, folks. If you don't ever draw the line, it's never going to stop. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And yeah, if you draw the line, you take a risk. Yeah, just like George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, all the guys back then, they drew the line. They took a hell of a risk. They were traitors to their country. And so they built a new one. They couldn't couldn't handle that country anymore. Built a new one. 520-333-4578. Anything that's worthwhile is worth taking a risk for. And I'm going to tell you something else, folks. I've told you this many times before. If you're not willing to die for freedom, you can't have it. You can't have it. I'm telling you right now, you can't have it. No matter what you do, you will never have it. It's not yours. It's not yours to be had. If you're not willing to die for freedom, you can't have it. You can't have it. Hell, I won't let you have it. Nobody will let you have it. All you do is threaten to take something away from you, and you, oh, okay, I'll do what you want to do. No, I don't want to get on the list. Oh, please don't take my house. I'll do whatever you want, you know. Oh, don't threaten my life. Oh, yeah, I'll kiss your feet. Yeah, just bend over there. Oh, I'll kiss your butt, too. I'll kiss anything. You know, just leave me alone. Right? That's the way it goes, see? To be free, you got to be free. You got to be free. You got to draw the line and say no more. You can't do this to me. I'm free. And if they kill you, you're freer than you ever were. I may be the only free person in this whole country, and there's federal warrants out for my arrest. I'm free. I'm free. I get these letters all the time. Oh, well, how are you free? You got you holed up on that mountain. Believe me, folks, I'm not holed up here. I got lots of friends here. I do pretty much what I want to do. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, I know exactly what you're talking about with the police as far as stopping you and just having to stand up to them and give them, you know, your rights.
Yeah, and if they take you to jail, so what? You're still free.
Yeah. I had one of them.
And they didn't get away with it, did they?
No. He called in backup, and his backup talked to me for about 5 minutes. He was real pleasant. Ended up shaking his hand and left, but it was all over a registration that I had in the British West Indies that they thought was illegal.
Yeah, and the first guy wanted to crack you upside the head and take you to jail. The second guy understood, right?
Yeah, commanded me to get out of the car and show my registration. He said, well, I'd ask him why and the probable cause. And he says, because I'm going to tow this car. This is a legal registration. I says, you show me where it's illegal.
Not illegal at all.
But I ended up having it taken away.
In fact, if the car isn't registered at all, it's not illegal.
Yeah, that's what I asked the other policeman, and he said, yeah, but you're going to get stopped.
You will get stopped, but you'll win in court every time if you understand the law.
Yeah, I know.
See, the only reason they issued this warrant for Annie and I is because I already had them beat in court.
Yeah.
I already had them beat in court. They could not produce jurisdiction.
So they'll make up some false charges.
And they were getting their asses kicked, and they had already committed perjury twice.
Yeah.
And they were getting their asses kicked. So they went and lied to the grand jury, got an indictment handled down against us, didn't even ask us to come and testify to the grand jury, which I would have done, would have happily gone to the grand jury and explained to them what the law was really all about, and that would have just killed them. But, you see, that stopped me from beating them in court because the next time I walked into court, I would have been placed under arrest.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, so you lose anyway.
Yeah.
I went to the...
Not showing up is also losing.
Yeah.
So the way I got out of losing that case was simply bringing to the judge's attention that the court itself, even though I brought the suit, I was correcting a mistake that I had made by withdrawing the suit because it was not an Article 3 court and therefore has no jurisdiction over that case or over me.
Yeah.
It's a territorial court, and I don't live in a territory. There are no Article 3 courts in this country. There are only territorial courts and tax courts, and they don't apply to any of us.
Yeah.
Interesting, huh?
All these other courts, the mayor's courts and that, they think they apply to you, and they try to scare you and intimidate you into donating funds to them.
Yeah.
And I had one place,
they don't apply.
Was so upset in the mayor's court, he was looking past me at the prosecutor asking, mouthing the words, what should I say? And I said, just tell the truth.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't.
He didn't do it.
No, he didn't tell the truth.
I won a case against a speeding ticket once. You know how I did it? It was in a municipal court. I went in and I presented the case that the municipal court was levying a tax on speed. And according to the state constitution, municipal court does not have the power to levy a tax. The judge agreed with me that a speeding ticket is a tax on speed. And if you pay the ticket, then it was okay if you were speeding. And it's a tax. And so the judge dismissed my case.
Well, this is a Judge Roy Dean case where the judge was a drunk that just hangs out as a judge every other Monday, I guess, for marriage court. So he throws the book at anybody that he doesn't like.
Sounds like a justice of the peace or something like that.
Yeah, it's something like, well, he's the mayor of Deer Park.
Yeah.
In a big town over here, so. That was his deal was.
There's no such thing as a mayor's court.
Well, I know they've done away with him finally, but they still have these magistrates all around. Circuit court stuff.
Okay, thanks
all
for
right.
calling.
Okay, thank you, Bill.
Appreciate it.
All right.
520-333-4578. Some interesting calls tonight. 520-333-4578 is the number. What do you think about what you heard tonight about what's going on in Florida? They're doing it all over the country, folks. It's nothing new. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Is this William Cooper?
No, it's George.
George.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get a hold of William Cooper.
Well, I connect you with Henry. Hold on.
Okay.
Hi, this is Henry.
Yes.
What can I do for you?
I'm trying to get a hold of William Cooper.
Okay, hold on. I'll get him.
Okay.
Hi, this is Bill Cooper.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yeah.
This is Ryan in South Carolina. been listening to you very long, but I sure like what I hear.
Well,
I love this tonight. This is great.
Great.
I just want you to know that you're not alone, and there sure will be a lot more William Coopers as people get tired of the tyrannical government.
Well, that would be great if everybody changed their name to William Cooper. We could all just...
Yes, sir. I want you to know
we'd all be safe then.
Yes, sir. I want you to know that I think about you, what you do. It's an inspiration to me.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. It sure is. And I wish you well. And I want you to know that, like I said, I haven't been listening to you long, but one thing that impressed me, you were talking about the Kennedy airplane crash.
Uh-huh.
And you had mentioned the fact that there are two lines of the esoteric conspiracy, if you will.
Yeah.
The masonry and all about the Illuminati and the Vatican.
Yeah.
And tonight's program is very impressive.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. You keep up the good work, and I'll keep in my prayers.
Well, I certainly will.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, folks, all police officers and all federal agents are not corrupt. Just most of them are. And the ones that aren't corrupt don't last long. I mean, they don't get promoted. They might make it to retirement as long as they keep their nose clean, but they don't get promoted. They don't get up in the ranks where they have any say-so over anything. And the very best are shuffled off the force. Just move sideways, out, we don't want you, get out of here, goodbye. We don't want to hear all this stuff about, all we want you to do is what we tell you to do. It's sad. It's really sad. I remember when I was a boy, nobody got scared when a police officer came around. In fact, everybody was glad to see him. Everybody. Nobody ever got scared because a police officer came around. Nowadays, police officer comes around, there is nobody who is not scared. Nobody. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah.
This is Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Yeah, similar thing happened to me about 1982. I answered an ad, and believe it or not, the classified the popular science.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a scientific supply company called Universal Solvents of America. And there was also Buckeye Scientific. And think about those initials. They like to play games like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went to Chicago at the storefront, and I bought a drug kit for $840.
What do you mean by drug kit?
It was a kit in a box to make methamphetamine.
Oh, I see. Did you know did you know what you were buying?
Yes, I knew what I was buying.
Okay, so you went there to buy this.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was being videotaped. I was quite naive back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, isn't this illegal? And the guy says, hey, not at all. No problem.
So you asked him if it was illegal, and he said, no, not at all. And he was
when it came up in federal court.
He was an agent all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. When it came up in federal court,
Let me make one other point, too.
Okay.
If they had not been there and advertised it and sold it to you, you would never have bought it, right?
It never would have happened.
Yeah. So they created the crime.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's.
Anyway, they followed me when I picked it up, $840 boxes. I didn't know what. And they got a little chirpers in there, low-frequency chirpers in those things that they're specially made boxes.
Uh-huh.
And when they're moving, they make noise. And when they're open, they make a different noise.
Uh-huh.
So they know when they're open and everything. Anyway, I brought it back to my town. Dropped it off at a friend of mine's house who had not, they opened it, looked at it, and put it back. Well, next day, DEA came in, busted it. And it was in the newspaper, $225,000 laboratory, methamphetamine laboratory busted. Largest bust in Calhoun County.
Right?
Well, anyway, I went through federal court and all this, and I couldn't believe it, because when the film came up, there was no sound. And my lawyer, you know, come up, and he said something, and the judge says, are you trying to say that these agents' credibility, question these credibility? They said the batteries weren't dead on the audio.
Yeah, sure.
And anyway,
they're crooks.
I went to the pound for a couple of years down there in Terre Haute prison camp.
Yeah.
And I got a hold of Dean Latimer at the time. He was the, because I wanted people to know what was going on. I got a hold of he was the executive editor of High Times Magazine. Because I didn't think anybody else would publish this.
Yeah. When you did that, you didn't know it was illegal, did you? Did you
Oh, I knew it was illegal.
You knew it was illegal?
Well, I knew it was illegal to make.
To make what?
Methamphetamine.
But it wasn't illegal to buy this stuff.
Well, that's what they said, yeah. And they also said I could call them and they'd help me make it. Latimer did an excellent research on this in High Times Magazine.
Yeah, I really appreciate your honesty. I think this is great. Go ahead.
Okay. He did an expose. He did really research.
But you got to hurry. You got to hurry, though, because we're out of time. You got to really hurry.
Okay.
So anyway, talk
back. It was on the front page of the New York Times, too. Because Latimer got a hold of that. So I exposed them, you know, and I got some satisfaction for it a little bit.
Okay.
But he found this other sap who, he called him 13 times, and they told him how to make it. As soon as he was done making it, they busted in and arrested him, and that poor guy went for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, when they got it was never put together. It was in the box.
You would be amazed that most of the people in our prisons today are there because of these kinds of things. Got to let you go.
Conspiracy.
We're out of time. Yeah.
Good night.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate your honesty. That was a great call. Folks, these two militiamen supposedly arrested in California for this bomb plot against this big gas plant. Well, if they were guilty of doing it, how come the only thing they're being charged with is firearms violations? So you better start thinking about this stuff. This bomb plot's bullshit. Total bullshit. It's a lie. It's to make you think that militia members and patriots are terrorists. If they were really going to do that, they'd be charged with it. They're not charged with it. Supposedly, this came after a year-long investigation. The only thing they're charged with is supposed firearms violations. And what do you want to bet that before it's over, those firearms investigations will be knocked down to lesser crimes? Or they'll beat it. How much you want to bet? Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you. It's all about people like Judas Glenn Jacobs. I wonder how many people he helped put in prison by lying to them and lying to the law enforcement people. Think about that.